But now, never miss a thing with MDN-TV, the podcast. We love to keep you in the present with diverse goodies from secular and non-secular subjects of global interest. Join us. Grab more from these series. Listen to our podcasts. The Undeniable Choice.
The Undeniable Choice, indeed, for today is Pastor Corey Rosenke. Look, I'm so excited that we have him today here. He's an author, a pastor, a presenter, and a tenacious pursuer of truth. Don't you love that? Look, if you're one of those people who have been wondering why people behave the way they do, why do they say the things they say, why do they act the way they act? Well, we have somebody who's going to help us with all those questions. But first, right after this.
Bringing you the good news all day long. You were tuned in to the hottest station
on the planet.
Keep it locked.
Yeah, and this is the hottest guest on the planet. Welcome, Pastor Corey. Thanks a gazillion times first for your patience and for saying yes, really. Please take this moment to greet our viewers and tell us, how did you get started? Why study the human behavior and mind? So what is this all about, Pastor Corey?
Well, thank you so much for having me. Well, life has been a long journey for me. You know, I began in poverty in rural Canada, in the mountains, in the Rocky Mountains of Canada. I now live in Silicon Valley as a pastor and a teacher and an author. And it's been a long journey in between. And I have to say, as a young boy, I really began early to ask those questions that you just asked there. You know, why do people do what they do? Why do we say it what we say? Why do we behave the way we behave? Really, as a young man in poverty, these are deep questions that I had and I needed to have answered. And so I began my search, right? And through my life, you know, I started off looking into philosophy, you know, the big names, the Aristotle and Plato and Marcus Aurelius and Confucius. And I didn't find what I was looking for there. In fact, I found more questions than answers. And that led me to psychology, you know, and specifically I was into Sigmund Freud for a while, you know, in all his studies and his theories on the, you know, on human personality and what he called the id and the ego and the superego. But it didn't take long before I realized the answer wasn't there yet. It wasn't deep enough. So then I went to neuroscience, and anyone who has ever looked into neuroscience finds it fascinating, you know, the different parts of our brain and neuroplasticity and how our brain will literally change shape and size as we focus on different things, and the influence of brain chemicals of dopamine and serotonin and all these things. But I quickly learned that the study of philosophy and psychology and neuroscience were really just looking at the mechanism. They weren't answering the question of why. They weren't going to the source. And it led me to the study of the soul. And so I'm on a mission right now to talk to people and remind them, hey, if you're looking for peace and happiness, if you're looking for purpose, we need to stop just looking at things that cater to the brain and the body. We got to look deeper, because more than a brain or a body, we are eternal souls. And I just want to remind people, hey, we have to look here, because that's where the answers are.
So in actual fact, you say the answers are with the soul. Before we even dig deeper into what you're talking about, because really, sparks are already flying, I'm thinking. Now, to all those who are listening and viewing this right now, meet us in the comments. We are live there. Ask your questions, comment anything, really. And remember to share this broadcast right away. Pastor Corey, who inspired you to follow this path?
Well, it was a path that was led link by link. Like I said, I'm very thankful, because as a young man in poverty, you know, there are a lot of things I could have done to try to make up for that, right? I could have got into drugs or alcohol or who knows what kind of things I got pulled into. But I was fortunate that I started reading. And as a young boy on the mountainside, I would say, you know, I would grab a book. I would wander the mountainside. I had a faithful dog. I would head out on the slopes, lean against a tree and read and just get whisked away into varied perspectives. That's the beauty of reading. And so right from a very young age, 9 years old, 10 years old, I was reading the classics, searching for why. And really, I would say for me, there was a great isolationism in my youth. There weren't people around me to the degree that other people experienced it. For me, it was books. And so it was great thinkers from the past that really set me on this journey. of answering that question. You know, and as I mentioned, some of those great philosophers, I remember specifically loving Plato and his views on the world, and then into psychology, and then C.S. Lewis, you know, really radicalized my way of thinking, a whole new way of thinking of how he brought not just kind of great philosophy into things, but also faith and the walk those parallel lines. And that was what really inspired me to walk the journey I'm on, was looking back at C.S. Lewis, A.W. Tozer, these people who were great thinkers, but also people of great faith. And I would say that they were the ones that really set me on this journey.
Wow, this is indeed a faith booster, I must tell you. So why do people do the things they do?
Yeah. Well, I think when we ask that question,
they say maybe in a relationship, maybe in a marriage setup. I mean, really, even between colleagues in a workplace, people just do things differently. Pastor Corey?
Yeah. Yeah. So I was, for a long time, I was a safety consultant. And I remember as a safety consultant, I was trained to look for a root cause. And so I bring that same kind of search for a root cause into the need to understand human behavior. Because if all we're doing is looking at each other as biological creations, right? Or as simply the result of brain chemicals, right? We look at each other very differently. And when we start to try to sort out the problems that we have, you know, why is someone angry? Why is someone frustrated? Why did my neighbor leave their spouse, right? Why were they so desperate to get married to start with? And then here they are 3 years later getting divorced, right? Why is all this stuff happening? You know, not only that, but we look at the world around us today. And I can say, as someone who is from Canada and now living in the United States, when we live in a time of unprecedented prosperity, I mean, never before in the history of mankind has our generation had been granted such access to, you know, education, to security, to leisure, to comfort. And yet every study shows that we are more unhappy than ever. And we have to say, how is this possible that we have more than any other generation in the history of the world, and yet we are so unhappy? And I believe the answer is found because we have been obsessed over satisfying the cravings of the body and the mind. It's our cultural obsessions, not just in the United States, but across the world, satisfying the cravings of the body and the mind. And we have forgotten our souls. We have forgotten we are three-part beings, body, mind, and soul. And interestingly enough, again, it is only these modern generations that have forgotten this. Yes. All through human history, people understood this, but we have forgotten. And I believe that that is why we are in such a stuck position. And so I've written a book called The Magnetic Heart of God, Understanding the Five Cravings of Your Soul. And I really pose in this book that there are five cravings of the soul that propel all of humanity through life and time. And if you want to understand human behavior, all you have to do is look at these five cravings.
And I believe you're going to tell us more about that book. Here's the question. Why do in South Africa right now, let's talk about what we're experiencing in South Africa right now. We are in a place where we have men killing women. Women are not safe, whether in their homes, on the streets. Women are not even protected by what we call a protection order. That, you know, we have this violence against women. We have this war against women that I believe that is been going on for many years, for centuries, really. What could be the cause? You speak about the soul as well. What proof is there that mankind has a soul? When we started, you said the answer is in the soul. I mean, take us through, Pastor Corey.
Well, thank you for asking that question. I get asked it a lot. And so to start with, I would say that you are your own best evidence that you have a soul. In fact, I would say that to each one of your listeners. You are your own best evidence that you have a soul. I believe that we each intuitively know that we exist beyond biology. We aren't just another creature on Earth. You know, we have been created different. See, we crave different things. We crave justice, as you mentioned. That's a craving that no other earthly creature we have, and it's not a biological craving. It goes so much deeper. We as humans crave identity. That is to know who we are, why we are, what is our purpose, do we have value? Again, that is a biological craving, and it's a craving that is not shared by elephants or apes or dogs, right? It is a unique craving to us. There is something inside mankind that reaches out, that seeks the eternal. So I often tell people that first off, you are your own best evidence that you have a soul. And second off, I talk about what I believe to be one of the most scientific statements you can possibly get. And that is the evidence of uncoerced conclusion, unanimous and uncoerced conclusion. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that every culture in the history came to the same conclusion independently. This is something that's very, very important to notice. It doesn't matter if... I often say this, the American natives who lived in North America believed in a soul long before the English, who also believed in a soul, landed at Plymouth Rock, right? And the Romans, who believed in a soul, went to a people, in Britain, way back in the old days, who also believed in the soul, right? The Africans believed in a soul long before they were subject to any outside influence. Right. Every culture in the history of the world came to the same conclusion that they knew they existed beyond biology. And when you look around the world and you see all these different religions today, those religions have been people's attempts to explain what they already know about themselves. And so they create this framework, right? And so to me, that's a scientific fact as you can get. If I'm sitting in my living room and my son comes running in from his bedroom and says, "Dad, did you hear that loud shriek?" And I say, "No, son, I didn't hear it." And I'm thinking, maybe he's hearing things. I wonder what's going on. But then my wife comes in from outside and she's like, "Hey, honey, did you hear a loud shriek?" And I'd be like, "Wow, two testimonies. They both heard a loud shriek. Maybe there's something there." And then the phone rings and I answer it. And my neighbor says, "Hey, did you hear that loud shriek?" I'm like, "Okay, I didn't hear it. But three independent witnesses came to the same conclusion that there was a shriek. There must have been." You just take that and multiply it by thousands. And like I said, every culture in mankind came to the same conclusion independently. It wasn't like religion, which religion was evangelized. It was taken around the world, right? It began in China or it began in the Middle East and it went out. But the soul isn't that way. Everyone came to the same conclusion independently. That is powerful evidence that mankind has souls.
It is powerful evidence indeed. But then, what does the soul have to do with behavior? You speak about us having so many cravings. Does it mean other people have cravings to kill others, murder others, or beat? Do we have cravings for violence? What will even inspire such cravings? I mean, this is deep. Pastor Curry.
Yeah, well, to start with, let me share with you, obviously in my book, I go into great detail, but I'll share with you just on a simple level, the five cravings. And these cravings are not good or bad in and of themselves. It's how we choose to pursue them that becomes good or evil. So the first craving that every human being has, every human soul, is the craving for security. Whether it be a toddler or someone in the military, right? Or a heinous criminal or a pregnant mother, we're all craving security. And security, really, we can break into two parts. We're craving physical security and relational security. We want to know that our bodies are safe and that our hearts are safe in the hands of those who hold them. That is a fundamental human craving. Second craving is identity. And as I mentioned already, identity asks four symbiotic questions. Who am I? Why am I? Do I have purpose? Do I have value? Every human being on the face of the earth has to answer this question. They can have all the money in the world, all the fame in the world, but if they don't know who they are or whether or not they have value, they will not be at peace. They will live life tormented. The other craving is independence, right? And I break independence into two parts. There's the freedom part of independence. We crave some sort of autonomy, that I can do what I want, to, at least to a certain degree. But then there's also the part that is individuality, right? That is, I need you to know that I'm different than you. We're not the same. We can connect, but I am unique. And that is something that every human being needs to have. If we don't feel like we are in some way unique, we feel redundant and unseen and without value. And then the fourth one is significance. everyone on the face of the earth needs to know that they are significant in some way, that they are special, that there is something about them that is special in their own right. And some people, they have this strong urge. They have to be the best fighter. They have to gain control over everyone. For some people, if they feel like they make the best chocolate chip cookies, that's enough. But we need to know that some way that we are significant. And those first four, by the way, security, identity, independence, significance, innocence, for the last 200-300 years, they're in every psychological textbook you'll find. It's not just a statement that I'm making. It's a statement that has been made for hundreds of years by psychologists and psychiatrists. The difference with me is I'm saying the craving is deeper than psychology. I believe that it is rooted in the soul part of us. It is beyond mechanism. It is down in the root cause in the soul. Craving is innocence. Think of this. Virtually any argument that you've ever had was sparked because you felt that somebody aggressively or subtly accused you of wrongdoing or wrong thinking. They touched your innocence nerve. And yes. So you either had to fight and defend yourself or run away. And so when you look at all human behavior, you say it has to do with some, either they're pursuing it in a healthy way or an unhealthy way. Security, identity, independence, significance, and innocence. And you asked about violence for a moment, or this idea for certain people to dominate. I always say, you'd be a control freak. I will show you someone who is desperately craving security or significance. And they're going about it the wrong way. They're looking for it in the wrong places. But at the root of control and the desire to dominate somebody else is a soul craving inside them that is saying, I need security and this is how I'm going to get it. Or I need to feel significant and this is how I'm going to get it. And it's an unhealthy way, but you can find it right there in the soul.
Now, how does one respond if you have a partner like that, or maybe you have a colleague like that, or a boss like that? How do you respond? Because now that we understand what their cravings are, how do we assist them or help them?
Yeah. Well, that's a great question. I mean, and first off, part of it is simply by understanding what it is they're going through, it helps you cope, right? It helps understand, okay, maybe this isn't as personal as I thought it was, you know, or you can look at someone and say, okay, you know what? I'll give you a classic example, right? Someone might come I'll give you a silly example. So in the United States, of course, everyone likes football. And by football, they mean not obviously the correct terms of, you know, we call it soccer. We're talking about throwing the ball and running around on the field. Yes. So let's pretend that I am a Green Bay Packers fan, which I happen to be, right? And there are certain people who yes. like the team is their identity. It's a very interesting thing, the difference between preference and identity. And I always tell people, be very careful what you allow to become an identity. It is okay to have preferences, but as soon as something becomes an identity in your life, you will fight to protect it. It is a serious thing, right? Wow. And there are certain people who feel that way about a sports team. And it's like, whoa, I don't think you should have done that. You should have kept it a preference. You know, so as a Green Bay Packer fan, right, I was at a San Francisco 49ers game last year, and there was literal threats of physical violence against me, you know, over a simple sporting game, right? Something that we should have all been laughing and having fun over. But certain people had allowed it to become an identity, which was something that deep inside of they had to fight. Because if you threaten someone's identity, that is a big thing, because it is rooted in their soul. It is who yes. they are, right? And maybe one simple example. I'm not sure if I answered your question, but that's something anyway.
You have. Now, you say we are made in the image of God. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So what I mean by that, and this is where I think I would say to you, we see the biggest reason as to why there is so many problems in the world today. See, I believe that God placed these cravings inside us for the purpose of drawing us back to himself. We also, in addition to living in a world, like I said, that has more prosperity, more education, more comfort, more leisure, we also have a world that is increasingly rejecting of the idea of a maker, of a creator, of God. And I believe that that is also the root cause of so many of our problems, because I believe God placed these cravings in us for the purpose of drawing us to Him. So I can look and I can say, okay, listen to me. My fundamental cravings are security, identity, independence, significance, and innocence. But if I'm looking for those in the wrong places, which is what most of the world is doing, right? We are perpetually unsatisfied. And so I propose that God place these cravings within us for the purpose of drawing us back to Him, because He's the only place where these can actually be satisfied, you know, is in connection with our Maker. And when we are disconnected with our Maker, when we're looking for significance in worldly achievements or in our bank accounts, when looking for identity in a sports team or a political party, we know when we're looking for security in how much money we have or how tall our fences are, those will never be, those are never lasting. They are all vulnerable. They can all be taken away. And so we live lives of perpetual insecurity. And it's only in reconnecting with our Maker and saying, you know what? I do love all these other things. All these other things are great. But in the end, at the end of the day, I have to realize that my security, identity, independence, significance, and innocence is ultimately going to be found in my Creator. And that, I believe, is the place where we find absolute peace. As long as we're looking for it in all these other places, fallible places, as I call them, we won't have peace. Because it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how tall your walls are. It doesn't matter how wonderful your spouse is in this moment. Things can change. And we all know that. And the only thing that doesn't change, you know, from my perspective, is our connection with God, a God who loves us.
Yeah. Look, you say the world is falling apart. And I'm thinking, I thought we're living in times of prophecy whereby all those things that were spoken are now coming to pass. Look, there's even things that are brewing right now. The war in the Ukraine, well, the BRICS issue, and though some have chosen to ignore that one, there's just a lot that is going on. The earthquakes, I mean, all the kinds of disasters that are happening right now, food shortages. Is the world really falling apart? And what do you mean by that? Are we not just on the calendar of God? Are we not just, is it not just time for these things to happen? Pastor Corey?
Yeah. Well, I think that that is a deep statement, and I think that's true. And I would say that I do think that my personal belief is that absolutely there is a time to all things, and I believe that we are entering into a specific season. But I think we would error if we had the idea that God would be to blame for all these things. I believe that God is showing us a good way and a pure way, and we have chosen a different way. And so I believe that that is ultimately the root of our problem is our own personal behaviors. Now, regarding earthquakes, you know, and things like that, I think there's very little control we have over that. Those have gone on throughout the centuries, throughout the creation of the earth. Yes. But when it comes to our people ourselves, I mean, the crazy thing about it is we claim to be the most enlightened generation. And yet we are the most unhappy, the most angry, the most bitter, you know, the most insecure, right? And I think that shows us our the lie that we've been telling ourselves, right? And one of the lies that I try to break when I talk to people is to say, hey, listen, you aren't just a brain body. You are a soul created in the image of God, designed to live in connection with Him. And as long as you are not interested in living connection with God, you will be perpetually unfulfilled. And I believe that that's what we see happening in the world today. You know, we, for thousands of years, I might even say, not just hundreds of years, but for thousands of years, mankind has been told, if you just reach the top of that financial mountain, you will find peace. Right? If you reach the top of that educational mountain, you will find peace. If you reach the top of that sexual mountain or relational mountain or the career, you know, mountain, you'll find peace. And ours is the generation who has reached the summit and discovered that there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Right. And we're we're waking up to this. And this is why there is so much insecurity and bitterness and volatility in the world today. When all the while, I believe the answer has been staring us straight in the face. You know, there our Maker is saying, hey, come to me. This is where you're going to find it, right? Yes, I have given you the blessing of a beautiful earth to explore and its bounty to enjoy. But if you try to do that without remaining connected to me, you'll just run. It's like a mouse running on a wheel. You don't get to where the space is that your soul really needs you to get. You're just running on a wheel.
How long did it take you to think like this?
It's taken me years and years. And like as I mentioned, I passed through, like I said, philosophy and psychology, neuroscience before I finally came to this place where I'm like, wow, the puzzle pieces are finally beginning to fit. What is, you know, I looked at the world's equation and realized it wasn't adding up. So I'm like, what needs to be added to this equation? What is missing? And I spent years in study and research over this. And I've believed this to be a fundamental truth. Security, identity, independence, significance, innocence. These are the core drivers of all of mankind. And when we pursue them in the right place, right, we find peace. In fact, they're prerequisites to peace. They're the definition of peace, security, identity, independence, significance, innocence. But if you're pursuing them in an unhealthy way, if you're pursuing them in the wrong places, you know, this is what leads to violence and the abuse of women, as you mentioned. I'm so sad to hear that happening in South Africa, right? Yeah. And I mean, there are so many things even happening in North America today. And you just see the tension in the world. And it is because people are looking to sad. They don't realize it yet. They think it's psychological. They think it's biological. And so they're looking for solution in the psychological and the biological, and they're not finding the answer. The answer is in their soul. The craving is coming from their soul, and that is what has to be answered.
What advice will you give to someone right now who says, I've been seeking to understand and wanting to understand human behaviors, but maybe just my parents or understanding my parental role? Because this is really broad.
Yeah. I would say to start with, it has to come in order to answer that question. We have to know who and what we are. As an individual, I have to know who and what I am. I am a biological creation with a non-biological component. And actually, let me rephrase that. I am a non-biological creation with a biological component. I am more than a brain or a body. I am a soul. Your boss is not just a biological creation. He is a body, mind, and soul. Your children, right, are non-biological creations. Yes, the problem is we believe we need to be able to look beyond what we see, right? And too often we are blinded by what we see, as silly as that sounds. And we begin to view each other simply as biological creations. So it was revolutionary for me to look at my own children and realize these are not just biological creations that are, you know, made from a mixture of my wife and myself. These are eternal souls who have a maker that is beyond me, right? Mm. And their life, their the hope they have for peace and happiness is not found simply in a career, yeah, right? It's not going to be found by sending them to the right school. It's going to be found by them connecting themselves with their maker. And so as a parent, you know, we as parents, through our love for our children, we so often smother them with biological securities, right? We're going to make sure you have a warm house, right? We're going to make sure that you have the food you need to eat. Those are important things, very important things. We want to make sure you go to the right school to hopefully get a good education. We want to answer that psychological craving. But if we do not speak to their soul craving, if we do not even, I would say the first step is making them aware of it. We release them into a world in which they cannot find happiness, because they think happiness is going to be found in the biological or the psychological, and it won't be. And the world is evidence to this. And so looking at yourself, your kids, the people in a different way, realizing these aren't just annoying biological creations. These are eternal souls that are frustrated because they're trying to find satisfaction and they're not finding it because they're looking in the wrong places.
Mm. Wow. And how can our listeners get hold of you? And that book, where can they find a book? For those who want to get more and find out more about you, I've been gleaning the whole time, and I hope everybody's been gleaning the whole time. Pastor Corey?
Well, thank you so much. Well, I first of all, I'll say I'm really excited about this book, because this book is is unlike anything that exists out there. It is very unique. It is not a knockoff of some other book. It is 100% new content, which is very, very exciting for me. I believe that people will find it very intriguing. The best way to find it right now is to go, you could just search The Magnetic Heart of God. It'll be available in bookstores all over the world. But CoreyRozenke.com is another way to find it, learn more about me. CoreyRozenke.com, CoreyRozenke.com. And that'd be the easiest way to do it. I would, I'm so excited to get this out there. I'm going to be starting book tours here in the coming months. And that's how you can find the book and learn more about me at the same time.
Exactly. So for all those who are looking for the book, look, all the links are in the description. If there's anything that is missing, feel free to ask for it. Look, I hope you will consider really turning to South Africa with this book, because I believe it's a must-have, The Magnetic Heart of God. I mean, you want to understand how humans behave, why they do the things they do? This is the book. Now, Pastor Corey, your last words.
Yes. Thank you so much for that. And as I mentioned before, we look around us and we ask the question of why. And I believe that when we're just looking at the biological and at the psychological, we are buried under a mountain of possibilities and we are stunted. We are unable to find solution. But when you look at the soul, as I mentioned, I believe the soul has five cravings. Everything becomes so much clearer. So I encourage you to go on this journey. I encourage you to let me expel a lie to start with. And that is that you are not just a biological creation, right? You exist body, mind, and soul. And when you realize that, when you awaken to that realization, and when you face the day understanding that you have more than just biological needs, in fact, the needs that you truly have are deeper than that, it will change everything. And I believe it'll help people find purpose. It'll help people find clarity in the midst of the confusion. And I'm just really excited for each individual as they go on this personal journey.
Yes. Thanks a gazillion times. I hope you have been awakened to the reality and the relevance of the soul. Let's get that book, and the website again is CoreyRozenke.com. And if you're missing that, check every link in the description. Pastor Corey, thanks a gazillion times once again. We will never be the same again. To all our listeners and viewers, Pastor Corey, check him out.